Good morning, church. How you sound? I want to feel you this morning. Good morning, church. You know, I came to Perth about 9 years ago. That was the last time I was around. And we came for a family holidays then. And we stayed in this guest house very close to the city. And it's been a while that I'd had my neighbor knock on my door and say good morning. And that happened in Perth. And that's why I've always had a very strong connection to Perth, that there's still that personal touch to life. In Sydney, it's everybody goes their way, right? You say good morning, they ask you, what's good about the morning, please? But I'm glad that in Perth, there's something good about the morning. So once again, good morning, church. All right, that's good. Look, I really want to, first and foremost, thank you all for coming to church this morning. I don't want to take it for granted that you just showed up in church. I'm sure you would have done a whole lot of things to be here this morning. You've had your bath, got your clothes on, you know, got the kids ready, and took your time to be here. I don't take that. As a pastor, I don't take that for granted, because 7, 8 years ago, when I started church, and I did remember, you know, you call people and say, you know, come to church today. And they say, well, pastor, I've got to do some shopping. That's why I'm not going to come to church. And I used to make deals with people. I said, how about, church service was usually about 10:30 then. And I said, how about I come in around 8 o'clock, take you to the shop for you to do your shopping. I'm going to wait in the car, all right? And after your shopping, I'll take you back home. I'll quickly go back home so that I can have my own bath and you can have your own bath, get ready, and I'll come and pick you and come to church. And I did that a few times. And there were even times after taking people to the shop, having their bath, I was on my way to go and pick them. Are you ready? They say, pastor, I just changed my mind. I'm not coming to church. I say, Lord. And you know what? You've got to love them, because that's what you're called to do as a pastor. And I say, I love you. Hopefully next week you're going to come back to church. And I'm blessed that a few of them have stayed around for the last eight years, and they are still in church. And these days, I don't need to take them to shop to come to church. They just walk themselves to church. And I did remember Pastor Solomon. You know, you're welcome. He used to be a youth pastor then, about five, six years ago. He's started his own church here in Perth. And I did remember a few times we had showed up in church one day, and normally church starts at 10:30, and some people called at 10:40. Pastor, can you come and pick me to church? And I told Solomon, okay, we've got to get people to church. And he drove and came down and got to church. He did it in less than 25 minutes. Should have taken him about 40 minutes. I said, how did you do it? He said, I broke the traffic lights to get here. And he got fine. Praise God. But I'm glad that these days we don't need to break the traffic light to get to church. Amen. People just show up in church. So it's a blessing that you're here today. And I really want to thank you for the support you've given Pastor Joe and Pastor Book in the last 4 years in growing this church. I tell you, it's a lot of work. And to have people who are committed, and look, I'm just amazed with the level of commitment I've seen here. It's fantastic. Come on, guys, who serve in this church, put your hands together for yourself. It's contagious. Amen. And I've got some hard message for our workers in church when I go back. Praise God. Very hard one. You know, it's wonderful. And the atmosphere here is beautiful. You know, I was just enjoying myself yesterday, and I told Pastor Joe, I said, let's just hang around. I mean, it's just love here. It's just fun here. And everybody is happy, and it's good. That's the way church should be. You know, I like your after-party thing. People just hang around and just keep talking. Amen. Because throughout the week, you're so busy. How many people do you really get to connect with? Very few. But when you come to church, you meet happy people. Praise God. Though sometimes we act it, it's not as if it's really real, but we're happy because we hear the message, the joy of Jesus Christ is your strength. So you better just act it. And sometimes in acting it becomes real. It's okay, God accepts, praise God. So it's good. And I pray that God is just going to increase this ministry from strength to strength. I pray that the next time I come here, it's going to be a bigger facility. Amen. It's going to be an amazing atmosphere. There would have been a lot of more people who have been won to Christ, who are part of this church. Our kids would have grown, and some of them will be serving in various places in the church. It's just going to happen in the name of Jesus. So God bless you guys, and And thanks for also having me, for inviting me to be part of your anniversary this year. I think it's an honor, and I do not take that for granted. Amen. And I just pray that even if it's one word, that God is just going to use me to bring that God's word to you. Even if it's just one, not too many. Praise God, just one. In the mighty name of Jesus. All right, can we open our Bibles this morning to the book of Philippians, chapter 3. Now, this morning I'm going to be preaching on a topic I've titled Getting into Focus. Getting into Focus. Philippians chapter 3. Now, this was Paul speaking. Verse 1. It says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things." Now, it means here Paul was trying to really say something very important. He perhaps had been repeating these things for a while, but maybe the people in the church didn't pay a lot of attention to it. And so Paul was saying, for me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you, it is safe. So we better pay attention for some of the next few things he wants to say, because he's really going to give us some safety. He's really going to give us some protection. And verse 2 says, "Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of mutilation. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the spirit. Rejoice in Christ Jesus, have no confidence in the flesh. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I'm more so circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law of Pharisee, concerning the zeal, persecuting the church, concerning righteousness, which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, these things I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained, or am I already perfected. But this is what I do. I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me." Verse 13, "Brethren, I do not count myself to be apprehended. But this is one thing that I do, just one thing, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you." Father, I ask you for one thing this morning: breathe on your word and let it bring life to your people. And I ask, Lord, that I'm just a vessel, I'm just a servant. I pray that people, Lord, will receive directly from you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, one of the things that I experience on a daily basis, now, this is my own personal experience, is how complex our world is becoming today. The complexity of our world. Now, where there are so many changes, there are so many advances, you also begin to discover that things are getting a little bit more difficult. And some certain things that was, it was easier for us to decide on, to make happen in many days past, in some ways are becoming a little bit difficult. And I will explain. I showed a picture yesterday of my family about the fact that I had a 5-month-old daughter. Now, after 10 years of having one. So a lot of things has changed. And I remember the last time we had a daughter, which was about 10 years ago. I walked into the shop trying to look for a pram to buy for the kid. And I walked into Target. And it was so easy for me to buy the pram those days because there were only 2 models then. All right? So within 5 minutes, I knew what I wanted or what I could afford then. Bought it, put it in my car, and went home. Now take your mind back to 10 years after when my wife told me, I said, you go get the pram for the baby. She was still in the hospital. And I went to some of these new shops, Baby For Us, and you know all these new shops that have coming up, which was very close to the hospital. And I walked in, and I never believed in my mind that there could be a whole warehouse where there could be over 3,000 different types of prams. And I walked in and looked for as far as my eyes could see. And the question I asked myself was, where am I going to start to buy a pram? So I walked up to the receptionist. I said, I need a pram. He said, that's all what you see. I said, no, I just need something with 4 wheels you can use to carry a one-week-old baby. That's what I need. He said, that's all what you have. I said, I just need a pram. And she began to ask me, so what exactly do you need? What color? What would your baby like? All sort of questions. I said, look, it shouldn't be this hard. I just need a pram. I mean, something I can push to my car and put it there. He said, what's the size of your boot? I said, does that matter? Because 10 years ago, nobody asked me this question. Why has that suddenly become important? And she said, okay, what sort of style do you want? And listen, I spent 2 hours in that shop buying nothing. Because I had to call my wife after a while. I said, I'm confused, babe. What exactly do we want? And she said, can you begin to take pictures? After taking 50 pictures, she wasn't even still happy. Praise God. I said, whatever I buy, I'm sure you wouldn't like it. So you've got to come back and buy the pram yourself. And I sat down in my car. I said, 2 hours trying to buy a pram. Why has it suddenly become very, very difficult? You go to the shops these days, you want to buy toothpaste. See different brands. Praise God. You want to buy toothpaste, you want to buy something simple, different. And don't blame marketers because they've sort of studied the dynamics of what we need as human beings, that we love varieties, and they give it to us. Praise God. They give it to us. But something we don't realize is how much time this it's even taken out of our daily lives. We look at TV programs. Everybody's trying to get something in for that prime time. They come up with different nice family programs. And every one of us, in fact, sometimes you go to one channel, the kids want another channel, the dad wants another channel, the mom wants another, and there's so much confusion in the house. And an average home right now probably has 3 or 4 TVs. Everybody trying to watch their own thing. Netflix has also not helped. In my house now, the kids have their own account. The father has his own account. It's becoming complex in a sense. Though it's giving us a lot of variety. But what we have to realize is it's also giving away to some other things. And I just want to call our attention, our awareness, into the core of what should be important to us as Christians. Because if we are not careful, we just allow our environment to live our lives for us. It's your life, but the environment lives the life, dictates what you wear, what you buy, what you do, dictates your entire time. And there's really no time for us to focus on what is core to our lives. I'm into IT, I'm into technology, I'm interested, I'm also a salesman, right? So I sell things, I work with organizations to try and understand, you know, their challenges, their issues. When I speak with different organizations that I consult for, everybody's asking the question, how do we do more with less? Because profits are going down, the competition is getting stiffer. Can you come up with creative ways on how we can do more with less, with what we have? How do we do more? But are we as individuals also asking ourselves, because we're having less time to do the things that are important, how do we do more with less time that we're having? Or even, how do we begin to think about getting rid of some things that are not important to us so that we can begin to focus our lives on what is most important? It's the signs of times. And I think it's important that as a church we begin to have some of these conversations. Because the folks who are trying to sell all these things, get these things across to us, they're not thinking about your family time. Praise God. They're not thinking about the time you have to study your Bible. It's not even the agenda. They're not thinking about the time you need to pray. They're not even talking about the time you need to come to church and visit friends. They're not thinking about that. They are thinking about how do we become more popular? How do we increase our rating? Because interestingly, we also live in a world that follows anything. For as long as there's some excitement there, what's this celebrity person saying? Okay, what's going to be the next show, the next movie that is going to be out? In a sense, we are being driven by this world system that has, and every single thing has an agenda. I can tell you that. Praise God. And most of these agendas are selfish, not necessarily for your own good. We've got to begin to think about how we take our lives back. Because it's our life, it's yours. I want to decide what I need, not people trying to tell me this is what you need. It's my life. What's important to me, I want to make that decision. I don't want people deciding that for me. When we look at this scripture here that we've read this morning, we see Paul trying to talk to the church in Philippi. Now, the church in Philippi was a very rich, wealthy church. It was also a church that had many things going for them. They had their own challenges too. There was also distraction within the church itself. In verse 2, it says, beware of what? Dogs. Now you might wonder, who was Paul referring to as dogs? Now I'll give you a little bit of context about what was going on in the church then. The Philippians had a mixture, or the church then had a mixture of people who were Jews and Gentiles. And so the Jews came up and said, for you to become a true Christian, you had to be circumcised. That in fact, the most important thing was circumcision. That the trust and the belief in Christ was not important. And so when people try to get to church, to the synagogue, to worship God, they made fun of them. And sometimes they made them feel insecure in themselves. And sometimes they were really on them and said, this needs to happen. You've got to be circumcised. You know how you throw bones to the dog and he grabs it? That's the way they were grabbing and stopping Christians from the people in the church then from doing the things they ought to do. So Paul said, you've got to beware of dogs, of distractions. You've got to beware of people who try to define your life for you, who try to dictate what they think in their own mind is important for you, but might not necessarily be important. And what I'm calling our attention to today, it's also that. That we've got to beware of a system of life that tries to tell us that if you are not into this, if you are not doing this, then you're not there, you're not living. And we fall for that. And in the complexity of all that, we begin to come up with reasons why our time is so used up in different things, doing different things. There are dogs we've got to be aware of. There are things that if we are to be intimate with God in our lives, we've got to begin to identify those things and get rid of them. We've got to take our lives back and say, you don't define me. I get my definition of who I am from God. I focus on my relationship with Him because it's He who can tell me who I am, not you. Not the next designer clothes. Not the next type of association that you have. The interesting thing with human beings really is if the going is good, they're all around you. The going gets bad, they all find their ways. And they blame you. It's your fault. It's your problem. And that's why it's important that we don't get our definition of who we are but from people. Praise God. From people. Because they're going to shout your name. They're going to do all sort of things when the going is good. And when the going is bad, they move away. We've got to bring things into focus in our lives. And we've got to put structure if we are to be effective as Christians and as believers. I like one thing T.D. Jakes said. He said, bringing things into focus and structure is a sign of spiritual maturity. Bringing things into focus. Bringing things into maturity. Now, there was a time in my life I tried to do everything. And I thought I could be everything. And I realized that I was never good at one thing. And I was stretched out. I was burnt out as a pastor, as a person. Until I began to ask the real core questions from God in my fellowship and intimacy with Him. Lord, what exactly do you want me to do in life as a person? What should I be focusing on? And God began to show me a lot of things that He wanted me to get rid of in my life. He began to show me even some relationships. You know, one of the biggest signs of maturity in life that I've learned is the ability to say no. Okay? No. Do you want to come here this day? No. It's got nothing to do with me. Yeah, they might be offended, but it's my life. Because sometimes in our quest to please people, we hurt ourselves more. And invariably, at the end of the day, we also hurt those people. Because we are stressed out. Now, look, as a pastor, I've had to look at a lot of marriages when people come to me and say, you know, Pastor, it's really hard in my house. Things are not working the way it should work. And a good number of the times, what I get it down to is just the level of stress in the family. The level of stress. Okay? In order to make the ends meet, the guys were probably doing two shifts. The ladies doing shoot. Hardly have time for each other. Hardly have time for God. Hardly have time for the kids. And any small thing that is inconsequential just causes, you know, this fire and this spark to go on. They say, well, Pastor, we've got to pray. I say, no, we don't have to pray. We just have to apply some wisdom here. And that's why in church, every family, if they are really very busy, I make it in a sense mandatory. You've got to go for holidays and go and relax, right? It's important. Makes my job easy. Praise God. Let's de-escalate it. And we begin to reprioritize sometimes. You are doing this. Is it really important? It's not important. Can you put it into the future? Let's put it Let's put structure on a lot of things. And the good thing is that after many years, I don't get to hear anything. Everybody is happy. As you grow and take on more responsibilities in life, we all need to evaluate and prioritize and identify what is most important. So Paul says, beware of dogs. Get rid of dogs. Get rid of evil workers. Beware of mutilation. And he began to say, for we are the circumcision. Now, the second thing Paul advised here was to give an identity to the people of God. He says, for we are what? The circumcision. Because people are trying to tell you what you are. And people will try to do that. Sometimes it can be based on your circumstance in life. On things that have happened to you. And it's so easy for people to label you because of your experience in life. And the reality is that there are some certain experiences that you can't avoid. It's just life by itself. But do you allow that to stick with you? Or you get intimate with God so that I can help you with the next season of your life? There was a story in the Bible, in the book of Mark, chapter 1. If you can open to it, I believe it's verse 40. It says, now a leper came to Jesus, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus was moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said, I am willing, be cleansed. As soon as we are spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. And he strictly warned them and sent him away at once. And he said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priest and offer yourself for cleansing. Those things which Moses commanded as a testimony. However, he went and began to proclaim freely and to spread the matter so that Jesus could not openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places, and they came to him from every direction. Did you notice something? The name of that leper was never mentioned. How was it defined? By his situation. So it's so easy. Had a woman in our church who's been divorced twice. And when people want to try and describe her, they say, well, the woman has been divorced twice. And I said, no. We've got to change that. I said, I'm sure. Because the problem is this. People tend to focus on the past. But when God is thinking, he's looking at the future. Praise God. We can't change what's happened in the past, but we can determine our future. So after a while, I called the lady. That was about 6 years ago. I said, this has happened. You don't have to live by this. Is there some other things you like to do in life? She said, I don't know. I said, well, think about it. So she thought about it. A couple of weeks later, she called me. She said, I've always wanted to write a book. I said, that's fine. You're going to write a book. And we worked with her. And after a few months, she published her book. And in the church, when people want to refer to her, oh, the author of that book. Praise God. And after a while, she said, I don't even need the money from the book. I really want to set up a foundation in Africa to help some kids in Uganda. And she traveled to Africa and did a lot of foundation, opened up a foundation. Then I did a lot of incredible things with the kids in Uganda. And so in church, when people want to describe, oh, that woman that went to Uganda and has this foundation, it's changed, right? Now, you don't have to allow your circumstance to define you. Praise God. You don't have to. Not another lady again who lost her husband 6-7 years ago, my very good friend. And when people want to describe her, oh, that widow in church who lost her husband. And I said, okay, we've got to change it. So I asked her one day, what would you want to do for God? And she said, well, I've always thought about a ministry for the women. So I said, how about we create a ministry for the women in church and you be the leader? And she said, that was good. And she led that. So anytime people want to describe her, oh, they said the head of the women's team, no longer the widow. I want you to use the power of focus to create a new future for yourself. Praise God. I want you to use the power of focus to create a new future for yourself. I empathize with our past. I empathize with what has happened to us. But I know that the grace of God, it's very effective for you to create a new future for yourself. I had a friend of mine in school. We've seen each other for about 25 years. Came for holidays in February this year. And while she were, so I went to pick her. I said, well, let me take you around, lady. And while we're in the car, she just said, oh, Ayo, you know what? I lost my husband last year. And I could connect with that. I mean, it just touched my heart. And a few days later, she sent me a text. She said, my father just passed away again. And she was staying in Wollongong with her brother then. So I said, okay, I'm going to travel down and see. So when I met her, she said, it's all done for me right now. Because all the people, all the men that I loved, my husband, my father, they've all gone. What do you think I can do in life again? And we spoke for a few hours. I said, look, mate, there's still hope. I said, we can't change what has happened. But could there be an opportunity for us to mourn, reflect, and see whether there's something good that can come out of all this? And she thought, and today she started a little ministry just encouraging women all around the world who are having a difficult moment in their life. And I'm in some of our posts, and I see how people have been encouraged by that ministry. Praise God. The power of focus. I believe in my mind that in the midst of all this complexity in our world today, there's still an opportunity for us to live a very effective life as Christians. I believe as the world is trying to dictate things to us, we should begin to be intimate with God and begin to ask Him for ideas. Lord, what can we do differently to make our individual lives more effective? And how can we be effective in reaching out to other people within our community? And listen, it's not going to get easier. Praise God. I mean, recently one of the big grocery stores came to my company and said, we want you to develop a technology where, and it, I think it's really, is on right now, where if you decided you're going to go to the shopping mall to maybe buy some fruits or groceries, and there's a clothing line, maybe Myers or any of these Nollibee or whatever shops are around. Now they have a geosensing technology where the moment you enter the shops, they know you are there, all right? Because of the geopresence in your phone. So the app is able to know that you've just entered the shop. Now you are going to buy groceries, and if there's a sale on, it will pop up on your phone. Oh, there's a sale nearby in Nollibee. Amen. And you're going to buy groceries. Now you look at it. Oh, sale in Nollibee. And you begin to go. Now as you are getting out of Nollibee, Myers comes. I say, well, we're just doing closing down sales. And some of those closing down sites, I don't know whether it happens here in Perth, but there's a particular shop I've seen in Sydney. And the last, since I came to Australia 12 years ago, it's been the same closing down sales. Sign. It's never gone down. And one day I was actually tempted to go down. When are you actually going to close down? Oh, praise God. It's happening. Things to take your focus away. Praise God. You're going for a particular thing, and some other things pop up. And that's what's going to happen with your information. Because as the world becoming more complex, more information is obtained about you. About the things you like, about the things that you love, okay? And you're going to be targeted more. That's the reality. But I just want to call our awareness that in the midst of all this, how do we still create intimacy with God? How do we still get committed into church without giving excuses? How do we continue to invest in our spiritual lives so that we can grow? How do we continue to create more time for our kids so that they can love us and we can be there for them? We've got to think about that, right? We've got to think about that. So, and that's what Paul was warning us here. Beware of dogs. Beware of some of these things. Identity is important. Very, very important. Because if you want to destroy a man, just take his identity from him. Once a person loses a sense of who he is, he's lost everything. And that's why when Jesus saved us, he gave us an identity. He said, listen, all things are passed away, and you have become a new creature. In 1 Peter 2:9, he said, you are a royal priesthood. That's powerful. God giving us an identity. So get your identity from your intimacy, your relationship with God. And Paul was saying here, we are not the circumcision. We are the circumcision of worshipers, of people who worship God in spirit, in truth. Our job is to worship him. That's who we are. If somebody should ask you in the first instance, who are you? I am a worshiper of God. Praise God. I love the beautiful song that was sung here this morning. And by the way, that was powerful. The second song in his presence, I was just there crying and weeping and said, this all I want, just to worship you. And that's why when God was to show John what heaven was going to be like, he began to show him the picture of the 24 elders just to worshiping God. I would rather want to spend more time worshiping him than trying to look for what I'm going to wear or the next thing I'm going to have to buy. I have a room in my house, and I have a chair there, and I call it the God's comfort chair. And it's a chair where I have conversation with God, and everybody knows in my house. Once I'm there, no talking to me. I just sit down there, and they know Dad wants to have conversation with God. Because I've got other sitting rooms in the house for visitors, for friends who come in, and I thought about it. Where's the space for God? So I created it. It's just a conversation with God. And I'm more determined to spend more time there than any other place. Praise God. But like I said yesterday, it's got to be intentional. And it's got to be about focus. What's important to you? The fourth thing that I want to talk about here is sacrifice. And I think Paul mentioned that. Can we go back to Philippians chapter 3? In verse 7, Paul was saying, but what things were gain for me, these I counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all what? Things, and count them as rubbish, that I may what? Gain Christ. Now, there's always a price to pay to be a good Christian. Some things we have to give away, right? If you truly want to experience God in your life, you must be ready to pay the price for it. It's not going to come easy. Because we now have a generation where you are told that, look, you don't have to go through any pain to gain. Just gain, gain, gain. But we know that that world doesn't exist. He says, I've suffered all things that I may do what? Gain Christ. I've given away all things that Christ might become the focus for me. That for me, what's most important in my life is to have Christ in my life. Is to have the expression of the person of Christ in me. I've suffered a whole lot of things, and you will. But what you need to have at the back of your mind is that for every suffering you go through, there's a gain somewhere. So it's not a futureless suffering. It's a suffering that comes with gain. With peace of mind. With joy. Glory to God. With joy. Now, let me say something. Paul, in his own time, had a lot of choice. He was well-schooled. He was well-respected. If he wanted a job at that particular point in time, he would have gotten one. He was very popular because at the time he was persecuting the church, everybody sort of rallied around him. So there were choices for Paul. So wouldn't say, because sometimes you might say, well, it's because he didn't have any other choice. No, he did have a choice. But he saw something. That there's something far better at the other side if I give this away. To me, that was a rational decision. And the point I'm making today is in our quest to know him, we've got to understand that we have to make some sacrifices. We've got to make some sacrifices. It might be the sacrifice of the little time. And it could start by the little things like you go to shop every 2 hours, maybe 2 hours or 3 hours in a week. Can I take 30 minutes out of that to spend it in God's presence, in praying, in studying my Bible? You have some family television shows, and I'm not saying don't watch them. Some of them are good for the family. But could there be some other things, those shows that you can say, okay, I'm taking 30 minutes of this time to just pray and be refreshed and be refocused as a person? Because just living life the way it's been thrown at us without stopping and asking the real hard questions just sniffs our spirituality away, unconsciously sometimes. Praise God. Unconsciously sometimes. I'm praying that as a church, we come to a place where we see the raw manifestation of God's presence and his power. When we begin to see the miracles of God manifesting itself in our everyday life, where every single thing that we experience every single day is just about the miraculous hand of God upon me. I was sharing with Pastor Joe yesterday. I said, it's interesting in church because sometimes I'm someone who loves to work with data. All right? So in church, we have some very great guys who analyze this data of what's going on in church. And sometimes I just want to see it, just to have a feel of how things are going. And God is not against science, let me say it. In fact, some of the things that science is saying today just goes to justify what God has said. They just prove it all the time, all right? So in church, we tell people, give. It's good to give. God loves givers. God is going to get me. So it's just good to give. And so I said, can you match up people who give consistently and try to match it up with people who come to church and tell us, well, they need money, they need help all the time. And there's nothing bad about that. I said, I just want to see those statistics. And the interesting thing that came out of that was that most people who were always in financial difficulties were people who were not paying their tithes. I mean, it's real life data that I'm talking about now. Now, I just say, well, this is interesting. It just goes to show that the scripture is true. At the time, I said, can we look at the statistics of people who come to prayer meetings and look at the sort of prayer requests that we see? Can I see any correlation there? And we found out that people who kept on asking for prayers that they don't show up for, we're sending in more requests than people who were coming for prayers. So it just tells us, as we've had the last time, that if you want to learn to pray, be there. So people who were praying had less, you know, prayer requests. And people who were not praying, who would not show up, were the ones sending prayer requests. And so that's interesting. And I think there was a recent statistics, I think that was done about men. And I think they said men who attend church live 5 to 7 years longer than men who don't attend church. I don't think they've done any stats on women, but I'm sure it's going to be men. I don't know why they chose men. But it's true. So let's get our life established and strong in God. Let's pay the sacrifice. And one of the things I know, that when you're paying sacrifice, God just shows up for you. I don't know that. Look, personally, I've just seen that in my life and in the life of many people I've spoken with. Things just falls in place. I'm not saying there are no hard times. There are. But at the end of the day, God just shows up for you. In hard times, in difficult times, he shows up. Because you've trusted him. I was sharing, I think, a little bit of a testimony about many years ago. I'd wanted to be the CEO of one of the tech companies. I was on the track there when God said, start a church. And one of the things I told God, I said, well, if I'm going to serve you, what's going to be the payback? Do I leave my job so that I start a church, do it full time? God said, no. God said, I want you to do both, be a bivocational pastor. I said, but Lord, it's going to take a whole lot from me. How am I going to do this? And God said, have you heard about grace? I said, yes, I know. He said, well, that's what I'm going to give to you. And apart from being a bivocational pastor, okay, I'm also a director in one of the IT companies, very busy schedule. I'm also a student. I'm also doing a master's in Christian studies on contemporary Christianity. Okay, and I have 3 kids. I've got my wife. My wife works in St. George Banks. She runs her own personal business. I run 2 non-for-profit organizations, just helping people all around the world and doing a whole lot of things. But look, that's my destiny. That's my focus. But the grace, it's there. The grace is there. Even when I abandoned my career, and I did, in my mind, I just switched off. The only reason why I was going to the office was simply because God told me to go. And I'm sales. And in sales, you carry targets. And the targets I carry runs into tens of millions every year. And 6-7 years ago, when I started ministry, we used to be about 15 people in my sales department. I'm the only one left. Everyone has been asked to go at one point or the other. But for some reasons, I made my target. And even years, and I did notice that years that I didn't make my target, I got promoted. I can't explain. And I've not bothered to explain. But that's God. I had to give away my quest to build a career for myself so that I can give time to God. But somehow, God is just working. I mean, I've seen instances where people have had to fight for me to get promoted without asking for it. It just happens. At the time, I told God, Lord, I need a change of job. And God said, no, it's not time. Don't even bother about doing your CV. And you know what happened? Another company bought my company, so I changed job without having a CV. And it's happened to me twice. I've been on the same job for 8 years, and this is my 3rd company. So my CV looks good. Praise God. That's how, every 4 years, I just notice another company will buy my company, and I just change job. In fact, sometimes this current will actually change office, working for the same company. Now that's the way God. And once they change, they give me a new card, give me a new incentive, and sometimes they harmonize my salary, which goes higher. It's just good. That's God. Okay? That's him. When you give your all to God, and that's what Paul saw. He says, all these things I count as a loss so that I might do what? Gain Christ. gain him. Are you at a point where you are so addicted, you are a follower of Christ, and nothing else matters to you but to gain him, to win him? Is your focus on him? Or your focus is on activities? Is your focus even on the church? Because sometimes as a church, we need to get to a place where we take all the distractions out, okay? So that we can have direct access to God himself. Because sometimes the activities that we embark on might just become another stumbling block for us to have that intimate relationship with him. Can you clear it out of you and have direct access to him? That I may gain Christ, have him fully in him. Paul also talks about a strong desire to know him. Strong desire. He said, I want to know him. What's so special about the person of Christ that Paul wants to know him? Paul, in his own time, was the most learned person. Probably will say he's one of the guys who's gone to school, who knows what he's talking about. Says, I want to know him. Now, are you really hungry for the person of Christ? Is your focus around that? Are you getting all things across so that you can know him, you can have a personal relationship with him? So that you can have strong depth of him. I said yesterday, the Bible talks about seeking first his own kingdom. Now it takes focus and structure in our days today to acquire a good knowledge about Christ. It takes a lot of intention. Many years ago, we did think in my house that, because everybody wakes up in the morning, goes to job, and all that. So I said, oh, hang on, guys. We can't continue this way. Every single morning, before we leave the house, we're going to have at least 20 minutes of devotion. My wife said, it's something wrong with you. We're very busy people. Our kids need to go to school. And you're talking about 20 minutes every morning. I said, I'm not even talking about 20 minutes. I'm talking about at least 20 minutes. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we've been doing it in the last 9 years. Never missed it for once. And we still get early to work. The kids still get early to school. The only difference was a structure. So everybody knows at that particular point in time, we get there to pray and commit everything into God's hand. And that brings some form of structure into our lives on a daily basis. Praise God. And it's been happening. Do you need to bring some structure into your knowledge of Christ? I want you to think about it. In the midst of all this, like I said, it's going to continue to get. As your personal information is getting out there, you will continue to be a target of marketing, of sales. That's just the reality. But take your life back, because it's your life. You decide and determine what you want your life to be. Lastly, I'll talk about this. Focus. Paul says something. He says, but this is one thing that I do. I forget the past. Praise God. I forget about the past. I focus on the future. Philippians 3, it says, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ. Verse 13, it says, but this is one thing I do, forgetting on those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are what? Ahead. That's focus. Jesus was saying in the book of, I think, John 4:34, he said, my food is to do the will of my Father. My food is to do what? The will. That is focus. That's what his life is all about. You've got to put some focus in your life right now for you to be effective in knowing God. So quickly, I'll just talk about three benefits of getting into focus. Number one, as it's very obvious, you live a less stressful life. Praise God, because you are more focused, you're more structured in your life. It also gives you strength and influence. Okay? Because the more you become effective in one thing, the more you have influence. Don't try to be everything and do every single thing. Reduce that and find out what exactly God wants you to do. My will is to do the will of my Father. My will is to serve in this area of church. My will is just to do this. Just do it faithfully. And you see God manifesting his grace in those areas. And I've seen that. Focus on that. It also makes you more productive and effective. Praise God. Makes you more productive, makes you more effective as a person. As you get more focused. As you put order into your life. As you put structure into your life. And for us as believers, our focus should be exactly what Paul talked about. Knowing the person of Christ in the place of intimacy. Because when we know him, every other thing becomes added to it. It's God that blesses and puts no sorrow into it. It's God that the little things that you do, he puts his grace on it, then it becomes magnified. It becomes bigger than you think. It's God that pushes you even when you don't feel you can move forward. It's God that releases his grace and moves you forward. It's God when you are down, he strengthens you. He knows your future. He knows his plans for you, and he's got the best plans for you. Why don't you go to him? Because he knows all about you. Now, he even knows where you're coming from. Glory to God. And he knows why those things have happened to you. Why don't you go to him? I say, you know all about my past. You know all about my experiences. And I want to pour myself right in front of you. Because when I am reminded about your word, that your thoughts for me is to give me a bright future. And that bright future right now, I want you to release it. I want you to reveal it to me. But that only comes through intimacy with him. Through knowing him. In the name of Jesus. And I want to pray that this new season of this church is going to be a time in which we are going to grow stronger in knowing him. So that we can see the express manifestation of his grace in our lives. In the mighty name of Jesus. Let me say this to this church. Your better days are ahead of you. In the name of Jesus. Your future, every member of this church is secured and guaranteed in Christ Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus. I understand the past. I understand the experiences you've had. But listen to me this morning. God has got the best for your future in the mighty name of Jesus. Just hold on to him. Just grab him. Just go to his presence. Get lost in him. Create time for him so that you can get his attention and he focuses on you. Because listen, when God focuses on you, he marks you out for success. He marks you out for excellence. He marks you out for greatness. In the name of Jesus, you express the wisdom of God that no world has ever seen. In the name of Jesus, God gives you creative ideas in your business and your business expands beyond measure. I've seen it in the life of people. Even in your world, God gives you something to do. There was a young man, they were going to get rid of everybody in their office. And he said, I prayed in the night and God gave me an idea. And I went back to the office and told everyone, this idea is going to work. And everybody said, no, it's not going to work. He said, I went behind and tried it and it worked. And I came back and said, I have tried it. It worked. And it worked. They got rid of all his bosses and everyone apart from him. He got promoted. That's God's idea. God still works in our days. It comes in the place of intimacy. Can we bow down our heads right now and just have a word with him? Just have a word with him.